In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Not very long ago in its history, we're talking about just the 1900s, China experienced a movement to obliterate all the perceived Western influences, including Christianity, despite its being a demographic drop in the bucket. The movement reached the countryside to a tiny Christian village near Shanghai in a forgotten corner of the world. Soldiers gathered the villagers into the parish church. They arrested the parish priest and imprisoned him in the coal bin in the church. They broke into the tabernacle and took the consecrated host and threw them all over the floor. The people were sent back to their homes, shaken. It was meant to do that, demoralize them. The church was locked and guarded. In the middle of the night, the imprisoned priest was able to see through his confinement into the church, and he noticed something, someone, actually, moving inside the closed church. It was a little girl, 11-year-old parishioner named Li. He saw her come up, approach one of the consecrated hosts on the floor. She knelt down and prayed silently for a long while, and then she slowly bent down, picked up one single host with her tongue, and reverently consumed it. She then slipped back out. Night after night, he saw Li returning to the church to observe her holy hour and consume another precious piece of the body of Christ. 32 hosts had been strewn across the church floor, and for 32 consecutive nights, the young girl slipped past the guards back into the church. One by one, she consumed each sacred host. On the 32nd night, after she had had her communion, it was to be her last. She awakened a guard, and that was it. Why, I hear some of you thinking, Father Wilson, would you tell me a story like that on Christmas night? Ask instead this question. What would make Li do that? Risk her life for such devotion? What makes any of the martyrs throughout the centuries do that? The answer is quite simple. We've heard it before. It is love. We are, after all, celebrating the birth of a child, a baby who would grow up to freely give his life out of love for you and me, and continues to this day to give himself absolutely and completely to us, humbly, body and blood, as our spiritual food. The word Bethlehem is Hebrew for house of bread. The one who calls himself the bread of life is born in the house of bread. And the child, Jesus, is placed where? In a manger, a food trough. This same child would grow up to then show us what perfect love really is. No one has greater love, he says, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Love came down at Christmas, and there is power in this love. True love forgets itself. It lives for others, not for the self. It was not only faith and hope that drove little Li and countless other martyrs throughout the centuries. It was and is still today this love. The heart of the Christian message, the mystery we celebrate tonight, is this: the birth of the divine child in the depths of the night in another forgotten corner of the world. We heard that marvelous first reading when the prophet Isaiah says that they would call him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. I tend to prefer the other translation we all know from Handel's Messiah, right? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The two titles, Wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace, were titles for King Solomon, titles he used in his life. But the titles Mighty God and Everlasting Father are divine titles, divinity, not used for any earthly king. In other words, a son is prophesied by Isaiah to sit on David's throne who will be more than a human being. He will be Emmanuel, God with us. So Isaiah prophesies a divine man on the throne of David sometime just before 700 BC. And that prophecy came to be. It has happened. And that is why we are gathered 2,700 years later at midnight of all times of day. And this world is forever changed. The faster that we move, the more efficient that our time-saving devices and appliances have become, the less time you and I seem to have. Isn't it true? And so, the question of God, existence itself, why there is anything, never seems urgent. And so we put it off. He can wait. He is not featured in the things for which our world makes haste. And yet, he is the most important thing, ultimately the only one truly important thing. God makes himself small for us. He comes as a child to lift us up. He asks us to love as we naturally love an infant. It is love for him that will make us turn away from lives of sin in order to follow him. So tonight, make room in your heart for him. Love him, and love him as he is, not as you might prefer him to be. And if you do that, the Word will continue to become flesh in you and make his dwelling deep within your heart. And from the bottom of my heart, I wish you all a very blessed and holy Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our creed tonight, it is as Christmas, in the middle of the creed, out of reverence for the Incarnation, where we normally bow, we will genuflect. As always, if you're not sure, just watch the deacons and me. Let us stand.